Over the last 2 days, a group of us gathered in Florida in West Palm Beach. Pastor Jeff Brunte hosted a conference, and Pastor Fires, Chuck Brookie, Dave Stembowski, others that came, and we had a good fellowship together. We had breakfast, and we talked about the ministry, about preaching, counseling. I heard 1,000 people every week are moving to Florida from different parts of the United States. Hey, who wants to go? Okay, so there's an increase of people, and therefore finding churches is highly recommended that a Christian would have a place where they are what we call in the body of Christ. On the plane flying down, I sat across the aisle from a brother who was just like me in a way. He was my age, got saved the same time, had been ministering around the world, preaching the gospel, and he's from Indianapolis. We had a beautiful time together just talking about things, about the ministry. But I had in one morning, or one day in Florida, in the hotel at the lobby in the checkout area there, where you check in at the desk, where one man was in front of me and he had a Trump hat on and Trump t-shirt, and I think even his socks were Trump socks. And he did his business, then he turned, and then I had a word with him, and he was very encouraged, very happy and thankful. And then I turned to the desk, and I noticed by the desk clerk who was there, who was listening to us, that she had a different opinion. And her body language was like clearly like she was very down, you know. So I have this in mind because in Romans 12, we have an outline. Do I have my iPad there, Pastor? Search. A simple outline that we can look at in Romans 12 that it kind of covers a view of our life from our vertical relationship with God, our personal. Is it connected? Let's see. Oh, you're not the guy. Uh-oh. Oh, no, that's two of us. Oh, no. No, we need help. I mean, not even going to try. And we need help. Anybody? Who's the guy? Okay, Sebastian will do. Okay, thank you. Look at that. There's a highly paid worker over here. Highly paid. Okay, thank you. So, Romans 12. We have three verses, the first three of Romans 12 is the first part. And we could start to read it, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, this is English Standard, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The context is that he's already written 11 chapters, and it is all about our condition as sinners, our salvation, our security, our blessing, that we are foreknown, we have been chosen, we are elected, we are redeemed, we are saved, justified, and that Christ did all of this at the cross. The meaning of the cross is very deep. And as it's unpackaged to us, that we realize that when God became a man, whoa, God became a man, that which is up high was brought down. And then that which was very down, Christ was in the earth. He was in the tomb. In a way, Jonah in the fish. He said, as Jonah was in the fish at the bottom of the sea, so the Son of Man will be dead, buried for 3 days, and he will come up. So two ideas there. God coming down and God coming up and saving us. Two ideas. Listen, both are problems. To go up there, I can't get up there. I can't go. This is in Romans 10 actually written. Who will say that I go up to heaven and bring it down? And I have two problems. I cannot go up there. And the second problem is I will go down there one day. And who will bring me up? Or how could I get up out of the grave? Both things can't happen by us. They cannot happen by people. You cannot get up there and you cannot come up from down there. But the word of God is nigh you in your heart and in your mouth. The kingdom of God is here because God did both things. God came down and then God came up.
Amen?
Amen. Okay, hold it. And I can see you're just still thinking about it. Okay, but I have a problem today in this because I want to get through the chapter. And so some of the things that I will say, we will say, stop right there and preach a whole message on it. And I say, I can't do that. Not today. Stop it. Okay, wait a minute. All right, now go to the text. Because of what Christ did, then we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, behind in our body, we have our soul and our spirit. That's where the real work happens. Because of his grace making us alive to God by the Spirit, then we are worshipers of God in our spirit, in our heart. We love God because we are born again. So now we present our life. Our body is presented before God as a living sacrifice, not a dead animal, but as a walking man. These fingers are for turning the pages of my Bible. These ears are for listening to the word of God. These feet are to carry me to the church so that I can sit down and I can listen. We are a living sacrifice, but they are also that everything we do is sacred now. When you go to work, you go to work to the glory of God. When you speak to the glory of God. You have faith in your heart, and you are now presenting yourself before God. This is what's called in our outline here. We have number one, our vertical relationship with God. What does that mean? It just means this. There you are, and you have vertical relationship. That's all. You have a relationship with God. You are able to hear him. Bring your stuff to God. Bring it before God. Put it on the table. Everything. And I mean everything. I mean everything. Unbelief, fear, good habits, bad habits, just bring your whole life, your future, your past, bring it all before God and present it there. Jesus has taken care of you. He has forgiven you. That's another message. He has forgiven you of all your sin and he cannot remember it anymore. Why do you remember it? If God cannot remember it, then why do you remember it? And why do I remember it? I had a time where my sins in the past, they kind of came back to my mind. And I just had to make a decision. God does not remember those sins, nor do I. I don't call them to mind. They drift into my mind. I forget. they are gone. I am forgiven. I am now saved, and we are born of the Spirit of God. Okay, you have a vertical. So let's go to the text here. You have spiritual worship. This is the English Standard Version, which is your spiritual worship. Yeah. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by you the mercies of God, present your bodies, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, verse 2. Conforming to the world. The world is different from us. We don't conform to it. The world says there is no God. We say there is God. The world says do whatever you want. We say no, we want to do what God wants. The world says I have my own heart and mind. We say God made me in his image and he gave me a new life and I have the mind of Christ. We have the heart of God. We have a life of faith. We have the Holy Spirit in us. World says, you know, follow me. We say, no, we're going to follow Jesus. How did this happen inside you? Because you are born again. That's in your life. You are born of God. You are like God. You have the Spirit of God. You have the mind of God and the heart of God. You have a new life now. Look at verse 2. It says, do not be conformed. Well, everybody does it. Yeah, but I don't do it. Yeah, but everybody does it. You're going to be weird if you don't do it. Yeah, I am different. You are different. We are different. We don't conform to the world. We are different. One father said to his teenage son, you are different. You're in this family. You are different. You are born of God. You are different. And the teenager said, I don't want to be different. I don't want to be different, okay? But the dad said, no, you are different. And he said, well, I don't want to be different. Then the dad said, well, we're praying for you because you are different. Now, there are believers that say, I don't want to be different. I want to go with the herd, you know, that word herd instinct, right? I want to be in a group. It's like an instinct we have in our makeup. We want to be with a group. But what group does God want me to be in? What family does he want me in? What community does he want me in? So we have a model here in our outline where we have our vertical and then we have that which changes our minds. That which transforms the mind. It's in verse 2 and 3. It says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, how does this happen? God does it. But it's our faith. It's our faith that is connected with this dynamic operation of God where he renews my old, tired mind. And my mind is an important part of my Christian life. We said this morning that the piano player has to have fingers to play the piano, right? He needs fingers. But if he doesn't have fingers, how can he play? And in the same way, the Christian, to live the Christian life, I need my mind. My mind is an important part of my Christian life. That's why we have a book, why we have a pastor, why we have teachers, why we have sisters and brothers, because we help each other in this amazing phenomenon of communication. We talk. Have you noticed that? People talk. People communicate ideas. People have values. People cry and people laugh. People feel. People think. And we need help if we're going to live this life. in a different way. If I don't have Christ, I'm going to conform to the world. Like the world will be ideologically any number of ideas and feelings and artistic methods and operations, many expressions in society that are without God. They don't need God. They operate without God. And I can conform to that. But how could I be different? It's when our mind has been transformed. And you know, the word there is this metamorpho, a real change, not cosmetic change, not a change of my haircut or my clothes or a cosmetic change of behaviors. It's a deeper change. It's a change of heart and mind where you actually can see God and his holiness. You can actually believe him and understand his word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. That's a big difference between one man and another. One man has no authority over his sin, and the other man has authority over his sin. He doesn't have it, but God has authority over his sin through the cross. But because at the cross, the power of sin has been destroyed at the cross. The sin nature of man does not have authority over man when he has the cross in his life. He surrenders trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So in the first three verses here of Romans, here's the outline. Number one is vertical. And this is chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. The second part is Romans 12, and it's from verse 4 down to verse 13, as the body life and the gifts of the body. And then the third part is the world, the woman at the desk in the hotel, who is, I don't know if she was a believer or not, but I wanted to use it. The idea is there are people who may not agree with you. There are people that may not be understanding you. There are people that are not believers in Christ. There are people that don't have the same values that you and I have. There are people of a different persuasion, just like all of us have been. And now how do we relate to the world that is, outside the church? Okay, so that's our outline for the message. And we'll just read through the chapter, and I'll make some comments here. Chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You need to discern the will of God. Now, let me say something about hunger. We said this in Florida, that physical hunger goes like this. I haven't eaten for 4 hours, so I'm hungry. So I don't eat for another day. I'm hungrier and more hungry than ever. I'm very hungry. If I don't eat food, my hunger increases. I get hungry and hungrier. So this is physical hunger, food, and so on. Okay, material body, I need to eat. Spiritually, it's the other way. Spiritually, it's like this. I eat spiritually, and I'm hungry, and then I stop spiritually eating. I don't go to church anymore. I don't read the Bible anymore. I'm not saying prayers so much. So then I lose my hunger. I don't have any hunger at all for God. After a while, I don't have any hunger. Are you going to read the Bible? No, I don't read it anymore. All right, you go to church? No, I used to. There was a time in my life when I went to church. I don't go there. I don't go to church. I don't think I need it. And that hunger goes away. And it's like, I'm not hungry at all, spiritually. Isn't that amazing? Because I know people like that. That they're done. They just don't have any desire for it. But are they brothers and sisters? Yeah, they are. And I don't know, actually. But yes, of course. That happens to people. They just kind of, it's over. You know, and then problems come or whatever. God wants the fellowship. But for some reason, they can live their life without it. Their concept of God is general. Do you believe in the Bible? It's like, yeah, maybe I think so. I'm sure parts of it are, you know, yeah, I guess so. I don't, you know, that's all. And what's happening in your life regarding God? No, I'm good. I'm good. I got my car and my house. I'm good. I got a garden. Everything's beautiful. I mean, it's going good. I eat every day. Everything. Problem. No problem. Okay. And I'm saying, no, I found something else. Okay. What did I find? Well, this is what I found. When you're spiritually hungry and you seek for God, He satisfies you. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Then what does that filling do? It makes me more hungry. And so now I want to learn the Bible now. For some reason, I've come alive. I want to learn the Bible. I want to go to the church. I want to hear another message. Oh, that was a good message. Could we have a rap session? I got a question. I go to the rap session, I get something more, and then I go, whoa. Yeah, that's good. I need that. I like that. And I go, and could we have a service on Wednesday night? Well, you already went to church once a week. What's the problem? No, I want to know. I want to see. I believe I'm in a fellowship. I'm in a community. My mind is renewed. I'm edified. I'm living by faith. And another part of my life are gifts. And that's in the text, spiritual gifts. Using your gift helps you live with this hunger. You start to live by faith. You use your gift. You love other people. You love the body members. And now you're like really active. And you not only are active, but you are enjoying the fellowship. You enjoy love. Peace, joy, you know, something deep. Mind is renewed. Well, then how long does this last? Well, decades. Actually, forever. It's the nature of God that's in you. You are in fellowship with God. So this is what we want to say. Look at the text and we can read it right there. It's verse 3, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You see, why would God save us and then like disappear out of the picture, or save us and just say, go on your way and live your life and have a happy, good life? And the Lord, why would he do that? If he gave his son, wouldn't he assign to us a measure of faith? So this brother over here, he's living in faith. He's moving in faith. He's volunteering by faith. He's teaching in the Sunday school, maybe, or he's riding in a car. But he's awake and alive in his faith. He's thinking of how he could share his faith with somebody who was sitting on the bus disappointed over the election, or the neighbor that is in the neighborhood who had a different sign up in their yard, one of the signs, and they, I realized that they could be disappointed. And that we have a life that is compounded in our life of faith with our cup running over, or our mind renewed. But we have problems too. We got problems. Not two, but all of us all. We, everybody. So verse four. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. There are some members in the body that are teachers, some are leaders, some are compassionate mercy givers, some are prayer warriors, some are generous in their giving, some are wise, some are good counselors. I have a paragraph here. Healthy churches breed relationships that are conducive to spiritual growth. In other words, if our church is healthy, the people sitting around me may help me spiritually grow. There is a relationship that happens not only from the pulpit that teaches me doctrine and messages that help me in my mind and in my heart, but there's also the wisdom that is in the body that is helping me in my relationships with my brothers and sisters in living my life. Because somebody here may have a problem with hatred, or a problem with in their marriage or raising their kids. And you sit here and you don't want to talk about it. You know, you don't really want to bring your stuff out in a public place. But in the body, we are connected to each other in love, and body members help me in my life in a very practical way, informally. We're riding in the car, I meet somebody, we get to know each other, we enjoy, we have a coffee, we might do some activity, or we're on the phone, and they give me a word of wisdom. And that counsel is in the church. And that counsel helps me raise my son. It happened in our family where every one of my children somehow were helped by other body members, not by mom and dad. Mom and dad did their part, but mom and dad wasn't the end game. It was bigger. It was people that had gifts like we have in the body. It says there in chapter 12, verse 5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. And what happens? Your children may find Christ. They may, who knows? Your wife may get help in the church. That your husband may find the reality of Christ in the church. There are many operations that happen in the body of Christ. We had the harvest night a week ago, and the parking lot is filled with a lot of people and families, and it's just beautiful to see how the ministry happens. First, we have the pulpit, We have the word teaching us, and just like I want to talk about people in our society that may be very disappointed by the election. But, you know, who knows, it could have gone another way, and but we would be saying the same thing. And that is the ministry of Christ is what people actually need in life. Because we have problems that God has given gifts in the church that are going to help me go from like one place in my life and live my life. And at the end game is that you are satisfied, you are effective, you are blessed by God, you are encouraged, you are wise, you have some love in your heart, and you're really able to say, wow, I lived a blessed life. Because I had Christ, the vertical, and then I had the body of Christ that helped me go through my life in the good times and the bad times, with tears and with laughter. Let's look at the text, chapter 12, verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Now, let me read another paragraph here. I am convinced that a healthy emphasis on the ministry of spiritual gifts would alleviate much of the need for formal counseling. When you say formal counseling, I think of a psychologist or a doctor sitting down talking, or even our excellent counseling that happens here in the office behind me, that they do excellent job counseling, but sometimes people think of it as formal counseling, and this is saying, I got a lot of counseling just by being with you through my life. I got a lot of counseling riding in a car. I got a lot of counseling sitting in a class. I got a lot of counseling just sitting under the pulpit. I got a lot of counseling just by people saying, I love you. And maybe that's all that I needed. There's some that have an alcohol problem, and they just say, you know, I shouldn't be drinking, but they don't have an answer. Because their alcohol problem isn't alcohol. It is, but it's more, it's deeper, it's a marriage. The marriage is a problem. But no, wait a minute, it's even deeper, it's a depression. The depression affects my life so that my marriage is a problem and my troubled marriage has brought me to alcohol. So who will know that? How would we know that? But if that person could sit with us, and if the Word of God would search their heart and know even more that the Holy Spirit would fill them and satisfy them and renew their minds, they would be able to say in their heart first, my problem is actually me. My problem is in my heart, and that I know that God will fill me and satisfy me, and then I will be able to love and receive from others. My heart is opened up, and I'm in the body of Christ, and there are gifts operating in the body, and I never want to go back to alcohol again. I dropped it. It's over. It's done. And by the way, my marriage is getting along. It's a little bit better, not perfect, but it's a little bit better, and I have hope for it. Where'd that come from? That was the ministry of the body. How long did it take? It took 2 years, or 1 year, or one message, or one change of attitude. It happened in the church. You know, it's like we are really making a big mistake if I cut myself off from the church, because the church is packed with gifts. Now, let me read the rest of that. It says, people would minister to one another more effectively as a natural result of everyday fellowship and as gifted believers gain skill in using their gifts, a whole new generation of spiritually capable counselors would arise from within the church. Good word. Let's go back to that verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. That's we call that prophecy. That's 1 Corinthians 14. That is a teaching and preaching. If service, verse 7, in our serving the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal. You know, there is a leadership gift where a guy could tell you there's like could be two things. One guy said, you know, go to the car. Okay, that's like he's leading the group. Like, it's time for you to go to the car. Go to the car. Okay, that's like, all right, that's how it could be done. Another way it is, the gifted leader, he may be able to get people to go to the car, and they don't even know why they're going to the car. But they go to the car. I mean, he can tell them. Another, maybe a better illustration, this is from 200 years ago. A woman came to hear a preacher, and she had a basket, a bushel, because she sold vegetables in the market, but it was not the right measure. It was a false measure, so she was cheating people by selling them a bushel that wasn't really a bushel. So she went to hear this preacher, and then and she went home, and the preacher visited her a week later, and he said, "What did you like? What happened at church?" She said, "I liked the message." He said, "What was it about?" She said, "I don't know, but I burned my bushel." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "What was the message about?" She said, "I don't know what it was, but when I came home, I burned my bushel." The false measurement. See, like there's something that happens from the Spirit of God in our life that changes our life. And it happens in the church. There's something, well, did you understand the message? No, I don't really know what it was, but it's like there's something in there that is happening, and it's a gift. It's something in the body of Christ. It's a gift of leadership. There's a gift of prophecy. There's somebody in the church that is saying in their heart, I just would love to go in my heart. I've got faith and I just got something. I could actually go anywhere and Jesus would be sending me. I believe that in my heart. How did that happen? It's in the body. The body of Christ has a ministry from God that happens. Okay, go to the next part, verse 8. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. All of this good stuff happens. It's like on this side, hunger, faith, using our gifts, good things are happening. There is generosity, there is love, there is zeal, there is fellowship, and all of this is happening, and you continue to be hungry. I'm hungry for it. I enjoy it. I've got an appetite for it. I keep that appetite is continues in my life for all my life. My appetite is there all the time. Well, have you missed God? Yeah, I miss God. I know who He is. I am following God and He's satisfying my heart. That's what the kind of life that I have found. I found that. Okay, now your cup overflows. Now there is a person behind the desk at the hotel, and they are in a different state of mind. So that's verse 14 to the end. Bless those who persecute you. Oh, no, I don't mean the woman behind the desk was persecuting. No, not at all. But bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. That I believe that's not just for the believer, but for the unbeliever. You rejoice with them, you weep with them as much as you can. You have peace with all men, as much as is in you. We have a ministry to the world. We are in the world not to judge the world, but to serve. We are in the world not to hate, we are in the world to love. We are in the world to be a minister, to have something to give to them. It's verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. How many have ever heard about the Hatfields and McCoys, West Virginia and those counties, Kentucky? How about that? You remember 1860, the feud started by somebody killing a pig on the other side with one family. I think 109 for 60 years there was hatred between these two families, Hatfields and McCoys, and 109 people died in that feud. But that feud is not uncommon in the world. Vengeance killing in Croatia, in the Balkans, in Serbia. Through years, many parts of the world. You kill my father, I kill your father. You kill my grandfather, I kill your grandfather. Then God says, stop it. Stop it. That's not God. That's not me. You are to love. You are to forgive. You are to pray. You are to serve. You are to be continuing with a spiritual life. And this love that is in your heart is spiritual love and a mind where you're able to say, you know, I can forgive. I can lay down, I can pray, I can believe, I can be a servant. I'm saying it as a preacher very easily, but to live it is something else. And we just saw pictures of persecuted Christians. And that's tough, to love your enemy. And to pray for them. But we're on our way out of here. Two miners were detonating. This is also a long time ago. Detonating in a mine, an explosive. And something happened and only one could get out of the mine. And the Christian said, you go. You're not saved. You go, get out of here, save your life. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm in good shape. I'm going to go. I'm going to see Jesus. How about that? That's amazing, isn't it? Hey, I want to live a spiritual life because I know what this other one is. I know what that is. I know what that is. I've done that long time ago. And I just tasted it was enough for me to say, I don't care about this. It's no answer for life. But we have found this one. Continue in it. The world that we live in needs your ministry. The world that we live in, they need our ministry. They need our prayers, our influence, our love, our healthiness, And not only the world out there needs it, but we need it here inside. And these gifts that operate happen. Amen. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. If you could say in your heart today, as a Christian, Lord, I want that hunger in my life all the time, all my life. Seek the Lord and his righteousness, and he'll take care of us. We will see it. He'll take care of us. He will. He'll take care of us. And if you've never started, you haven't been born again, you haven't made a decision in your heart. I don't mean just generally believing in God, but we mean what the scripture means is to receive him, Christ, and you're born of God today. You are born of God, but believing in Christ, and that's in your heart. Say to God in your heart, I trust you. Save me. Then you are saved. Walk by faith, and God will lead you and show you and be patient and trust him and talk to him and ask him, and he will answer. He is God. Wow. You are forgiven of your sins, and you have a relationship with him. Amen. Anybody say that prayer for the first time? Anyone at all? Just raise your hand. Anybody? Just say, yeah, I accepted Jesus just now. Anyone? There we go. Thank you. Anyone? God bless you. You're in the family of God. Anybody else? Yeah, God bless. Welcome to the family of God. Somebody over here? Another one? Okay, thank you. God bless you. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. There's one person over here. Thank you. Okay, we got, and somebody else too, Brian? Okay, over here. Okay, there we go. God bless you. There we go. In the family, in the family. Hallelujah. Mark down the date. What is it? November 10th? Yeah, so write that. That's the day of your spiritual birthday. You said yes to Christ and trust him and walk with him by faith.